ื่องไปที่ดีในก่อนนะ
Well, good morning, folks. It sure is good to be in the Lord's house. I tell you, it was good to be here yesterday morning, and I'm sure it was last night. I was able to get back last night, and most of you know my wife's health's not good. But the Lord sure has been good to us. And he helped me here yesterday morning very, very much. God really helped me. I'm kind of glad you let me go first. Because at my age, you need to do everything you can early. When I was about 25 years of age, I was in the study and I was on my face. I got saved when I was 20 and started preaching when I was 20. And I had my Bible open, and I was praying, and I had Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I remember that day very well, and I said, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to do my best to take care of your business, and I'm sure you'll take care of mine. Lord, if you could let me minister until I'm 80, I sure would be grateful. Well, I had a birthday back in March, and I told the church at Calvary where I pastored there, where Brother Clemens is now. I said, you know, at my age, I'm trying to renegotiate that matter. Try to move it up a little bit. Well, you know, I've noticed in meetings like this, it helps me if I can catch the pastor's heart, because he's the man that usually knows the direction it ought to be going. And so, I sure would like to hear Brother Fraser, or Brother Jones last night. They said it kindly changed directions and we come back down to earth and reality. But I picked something up the other day, and I'll read you this, and this doesn't have to do with the message, basically. But, you know, the Salvation Army is just about out of business, don't you think? From a standpoint of spiritual matters. But General Booth said, before he died, said the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, and salvation without regeneration, and heaven without hell. So I believe you could preach on that, couldn't you? And that'd be in order. But I believe my assignment today is taken from the book of Mark, in chapter number 5, and for the sake of time, I'm going to skip verse 21. I'm conscious that the men that's going to be coming behind me, I need to give them as much time as possible. So I'm going to move down to verse number 25 of Mark chapter number 5. The Bible said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had. Can you relate to that? She go to the doctors. She spent all she had, the Bible said, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment. And she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus immediately knew, or knowing in himself, that virtue, and that word literally means, or really means, if you want to put some emphasis on it, a miracle has taken place because the mighty power of God has been at work. And that's what we need, I think. We need the mighty power of God. He said the virtue had gone out of him. He turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all of the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, that's as far as I'm going to read. And I'd like to kindly do an exposition of these particular verses and just draw right out of the Word of God. I want to preach this morning on pressing through to Jesus. Pressing through to Jesus. That's what we've got to have. And I sense the pastor's burden. And you're not going to do anything without a burden. Do you believe that's got to be right? We have to have a burden. That's what men of God need in whatever ministry, and that's what churches need. We need a burden. And so I'm going to deal with pressing through to Jesus. This woman had an incurable disease. And you know, in our society, we've got an incurable problem apart from Jesus. He's the only answer for the problem. There are no other answers. She had an incurable disease. She had spent all that she had on doctors, and in place of being better, she is worse. And we spend all of the energy that we do and the things that we do, but if we're not careful, and it seemed like this is kind of the way we've been going, we're worse off than we were, you know, in the beginning. Now, if you come into this meeting and you have, you'll either go away from this meeting better off, or you'll go away worse off. You know, the church here has prepared, and there's a lot involved in a meeting like this. And I would that God had helped me, and I would that God had helped you. I've not arrived. I don't know about you, but I have not arrived. She was worse off than better. But you know what? She had come to a place of what? Desperation. She was desperate. Right? She was an outcast as far as society was concerned. She suffered. She had spent all that she had. But she heard something. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And that's the key. Praise God when you get to Jesus. Now let me tell you something. I know a few things. I don't know all things, but I learned years ago, young men, young ladies, men and women, that if a church ministry is going to go forward, it'll go forward on its knees and in the Word of God. That's your two offensive weapons. And if you're going to get it done, you'll get it done on your knees. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to fast and pray, you're too hungry. Amen. If you're too busy to pray, you're well to hang it up. Spurgeon said, I'd rather teach one man how to pray. And I don't know how you teach a man to pray except you get him to pray. Or a woman to pray except you get him to pray. Amen. Now, I hate to do this, but I need some water. I've got allergies. You name them, I've got them. If nothing else, with that glorified body that I'm going to have when I get to glory, praise God, there won't be any more allergies. I'll just throw that in for good measure. I'm telling you, oh, you've tried everything. She'd spent all of her money, but there was one thing. She saw that there was opportunity. I believe there's still opportunity. Preacher, don't throw in the towel. My goodness. I think about some men that are preachers, and they're just trying to hold the fort. We don't need to hold the fort. Pray God, we need to charge forward. Don't you think that's right? I get stirred up about that much, I want to throw the furniture out of the house. I'm telling you, we've settled for things that we don't need to settle for. God's either almighty or the devil's almighty, and the flesh is almighty, and the world's almighty. Which one is almighty? I believe it's the Lord. Last time I checked in. And that was this morning. Amen. Brother Raines was talking about yesterday morning, his dad. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to preach or you're going to do anything with God, you're going to have to get with God. I don't care how many outlines you got. They're not worth the paper they wrote on if God don't get on it. Is that right? I believe I think most of you are with me. Don't you think that's right? Man's extreme, and we're not extreme, I don't know. It's God's opportunity. Would you believe that? I don't know what's going to come down the road. I know it don't look good. But I do know this, that whatever comes, if you got Jesus, you'll be all right. But whatever comes, if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to be all right. Opportunity. Thank God for the opportunity again to preach. I don't want to just preach. I'd like to say some things about the church and the pastor, but I like his soberness. Praise God, we need to be sober-minded. I'm not afraid of the glory. If you ever get in it too, you'll want to get in it again. And you won't be afraid of it. But I tell you what, we need to let God bring the glory. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. That makes me almost want to shout. Praise God. I tell you, the Lord's wonderful, isn't He? I think this woman thought, I'm dying by degrees. And I think she said, maybe I got to do or die. This is the opportunity. Oh, if you and I, not just you, but you and I, if we could just get broken again, if we could come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God said, I will not despise that. Oh, God, help me. Help me in these days. Oh, not to play around with God's business. So, little bit of introduction. And I want you to notice the first part of the message. She come to a place of holy desperation. Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do at my church. If you could get to a place of holy desperation, God will help you. I don't know what I'm going to do with my family. If you'll get to a place of holy desperation, God will help you. God will work. Do you mean to tell me they'll all get right with God? I'm not telling you that, but I'm telling you, God will be with you. He'll see you through it. I'm telling you, holy desperation is where I have to get before I will completely press into Jesus. I try to meet God every day. This may not work for you, but years ago, I met Brother Joe Parsons. And he become a friend of mine. He called me boy. And I like to talk with him. He had so much wisdom. One morning I invited Brother Joe to go to breakfast with me. We sit down at the U.S. Cafe in Dahlin, Georgia. And he looked across the table at me and he said, "Boy, I was at the throne of grace this morning at 4:00. And I didn't see you." That's all he said. He didn't have to preach me a whole catalog of sermons. But I kind of think at 4:00 that morning he must have been talking to God about me. I didn't say a word. But I did a little thinking. And this was what I thought, Pastor. I thought, I was not there this morning, but if you're there in the morning, I'll be there. And from that day forward, I've been trying to meet God. I've always been a person that believed you had to meet God and you had to stay in that book. But I started meeting God early. Mrs. Spurgeon said, 1 hour of a morning is worth 2 in the evening. Now I know there's some people that sleepyhead and they cannot get up early. But I'll tell you, God will give you a built-in alarm clock. Oh. I'd hate to come here to preach today if I'd not met with God before I got here. I'd hate to go anywhere to preach if I had not met with God before I got there. Listen to me. You go to a lot of churches. I preach in a lot of them. I step down because my wife's help. You know, preachers, there's nothing like a good wife to help you in the ministry, and it's like my right arm was cut off, and I really prayed about it, and God told me to step down. I've not ever regretted that, because I obeyed the Lord. I want to tell you something. I go to churches, and they have a prayer room. Thank God for what you're doing. We're going to have any power with God, we're going to have to have the Word. I'm going to have to have prayer. You go to them churches and they'll have a prayer room and they'll say, "We're going to pray at 15 minutes to 7. And they'll go downstairs and talk 10 minutes and expect you to pray in 5. And by the time you get on your knees, you got 3 minutes. And it's kind of like, "Lord, to lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I think, my God, if we're not going to... And I don't mean to be... I think if that's all, you know, if that's all we're going to do, why don't we just stay upstairs? It's kind of hard to get back up there, though, I am. You're going to have to pray. You got to press in. You got to press in. And when you pray, you know what you need to do? You need to pray. You know what you need to do? After you pray, you need to pray. How long do you need to pray? You need to pray until you press in. And then you need to pray after you pressed in. And then you need to get real quiet before God, because He probably has some instructions for you. There's much to be said about pressing through and getting quiet and let God talk to you. I believe the Lord helped me to tell this. We was there at Calvary, and we'd built a church and bought that land, and we was getting ready to buy some more land because that school was going. We had about 250 students. So I'd gone down, check at the bank on about getting the money. $64,000. And we was in revival. And I was getting up and getting into church at 4. I was reading my Bible, but I was reading R.A. Torrey's book on the power of prayer. And I got to praying that morning. And I prayed all over there. Folks were getting saved, and I crawled up on the pew on the right side. And I got real quiet before God. I think I pressed through. The Lord said, I don't want you to borrow that money. If you do, you know it's going to take us 13 years to pay that off. He said, don't want you to borrow that money. If you do, I'm going to let you all pay it off. I said, Lord, surely this is not the Lord. This must be the devil trying to get me in a mess. I said, Lord, our people's not wealthy. They're just common working people. We can't do that. And then he just kept, I've got pressed in. I've done reached him. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I said, if you want me to do it, give me some word on it. You better get the word on it. Praise God. I'm telling you, the word got coming as fast, I couldn't hardly handle it. He said, what about the virgin birth? I was able to be born as a virgin. That wasn't too hard for God. He said, my people. Oh, he said, bring your tithe and bring your offering into the storehouse and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven for you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. Praise God, he just kept, I thought, how much ammunition do I need? I got through praying that morning, Pastor. I went home and told my wife. I said, you know what? God wants us to pay for that property. He don't want us to borrow any money. I said, what do you think about that? She said, I really don't know. Well, she had not pressed in over there. God was not talking to her. He's talking to the preacher. I had evangelists in town. And I thought, man, I'll get some help from him for sure. And I talked to him about it. I said, what do you think? He said, I don't know. So I carried that thing in my heart. And that was on about Wednesday. And I carried that thing in my heart. It was Sunday morning. And the invitation was given. And they filled the altar. I think we had about 35 saved in that meeting. Lord God, I'd like to see that happen again. And when I say Lord God, I don't mean that disrespectful to God. Oh, I wish I could see that again. Brother Benny Wittenbarger's wife got saved that morning. She's a church member. They make a lot better church members after they get saved. When everything settled, I got up and I said, God told me right over there. He didn't want us to borrow that money. I didn't run it by nobody, except my wife and the evangelist, and I didn't get any help there, so I didn't figure it was no use to run it by nobody else. I said, God does not want us to borrow that $64,000. He wants us to give it. And I hate to say this about myself, but there were some old men that helped me about how God helped them when I was coming along. I'd like to help you. And I was standing back there and I said, we're not going to borrow that money. God wants us to give it. And as long as I'm pastor, we won't borrow it. There's one of the preacher boys sitting near the back and he said, boy, he's gone today. He's gone today. He's done dug himself a hole. Boy, you better know it's God when you make those statements. You know what? They started coming and giving. Some sold boats. You know, a lot of people love their boat more than love Jesus. They love their golf clubs more than love Jesus. I'm not against you playing golf. If you play golf, that's all right. It's sin for me to play golf. Anybody plays as bad as I do, it'd be sin for them. Is that the way he is? Stay off the golf course. And you know what? We stayed there till 2 that day. And when we got through and everything was finished, we had $125,000. At my age, I better hold to that. Praise God! Hallelujah! Amen! Praise the Lord! Praise the admonition! Praise God! He's not dead! Oh, he's good. I'm talking about pressing through to Jesus. I wish I'd asked the preacher, but I think the Holy Ghost will let me know. And to make a long story short, we got all that done, and boy, you know, God just sent the money to buy the building. We need that activity building bad. When everything was done, we never borrowed one penny, and the building even went up beyond the land. He said, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can say, all you think and can ask. God said, I'll do it. And if God said he'd do it, he'll do it. Amen. I tell you, God still is in business. He's not bankrupt. But you better not get foolish with God's business. Oh no. You better have the mind of God. That's why you need to press through. Preachers, evangelists, missionaries, moms, and dads. I'm not staying with my text too good, but I'm staying my subject. My grandmother had a baby girl. Her name was Ora. All the other children had been born. She is the baby. The old country doctor came to my grandmother's house that night, and the little baby was running a high fever. And the old doctor said, Miss Bearden, I'm going to stay with you all night. I don't believe she'll be here in the morning. My grandmother said, I said to the doctor, are you going to sit with her? And he said, I'm going to sit with her. She said, I'm going up on the hill. My grandmother said, I went up on the hill and I fell on my face in that broom sage patch. She said, I don't know how long I stayed there. Well, give us some godly mother that'll pray in this Laodicean church age. She said, I don't know how long I stayed. You godly mothers, and you're trying to rear your children. Oh, stay with Jesus. Do without some things, but for God's sake, pray! Pray! Be willing to prayer! Things happen when women pray. Just like things happen. Don't let the preacher have to do all the praying men. Let it be praying men. We need to be praying women. You teenagers, you need to learn to pray. My grandmother said, she told me about it. She said, Ray, son, she said, I come out of there and God told me she's going to be all right. She said, I went back down to the doctor and I said, how's she doing, doc? I said, well, she seems maybe to be a little better. She said, doctor, I'm glad you're going to stay all night, but God just told me up there in the broom seed patch that she is going to be all right. They buried her in Florida about 2 years ago, and she's 93. Oh. I don't know about you, but I'm like the old fella was down in Georgia where I grew up. He said, somebody's going to have to hold these reins. Said, my mule's about to run away. I'm telling you, God's good. God's putting this in my heart as I move. I didn't have this plan, but I need to tell this. I was coming over here to preach. I was coming over here to preach one Sunday morning. I don't know, it's been a couple of months maybe. I don't know, 6 weeks or so. And that morning, I got a word from Brother Bob Garrett's wife over in Greenville, South Carolina. Brother Bob had lymphoma cancer. You folks got in on that. And she said they took Bob to the... We had to take him to the hospital. He's in the hospital, said they moved him in ICU last night. Said, preacher, it don't look good. It don't look good. You listen to me. When the church prays, if they really pray, things happen. Brother Sexton that morning, preachers was calling prayer all over the country. Brother Sexton that morning said, we support Brother Bob and we know him. I want us to have an altar prayer for him. We prayed for him that morning on the way back home and they said, I called and Bob answered the phone. And he said, preacher, I heard them nurses talking. And said, one of them said, I thought we had lost him. And another one said, I just got a heartbeat. He's still with us. He said, I was hearing it. He said, I just got a heartbeat. He said, there's six or seven of them when I opened my eyes around me. Things happen when God's people pray. Amen. We're not praying to Allah. Right. That crowd's going to hell. Right. We're not praying to the Pope. Right. He's over here telling us that capitalism is wrong and we ought to be giving all our money to people that's poor, and the Catholic Church has got more money than all of the governments. Why don't they spend that? He is a imposter. But way back, he is nothing. He is ungodly. I really would would like to preach this morning on Revelation 17 and 18 on the old harlot church. Dear God, help us in these days. And America's falling all over themselves. And the politicians think it's the best thing since sliced bread. I think it's an abomination to God how they're trying to elevate the Pope to be high as Jesus. I lose the preaching spirit here. I gotta get through. Brother Bob's some better on Monday, a little better, so there's a little improvement. Sister Sharon said, "Preacher," she said, "Tuesday morning I got with God." She said, "I got with God Tuesday morning." She said, "When I left the house, I knew that they was going to tell me my husband was better, or God was preparing me for them to tell me he was going home. I didn't know which, but," she said, "I've never, never in all of my Christian life had the peace of God like I had that day." She said, "When I got there," she said, "Oh," She said he was a different person. And the doctors came in and they said, "His blood counts is higher. All of his blood counts is up. His white blood counts is down a little because he's still got that infection. But even it's up." I said, "Miss Gary, we don't know what has happened. We've had patients like this in the years. We've never seen anything like this. In our life, we've never seen anything like it." And she said, "I tell you what, it's the Lord." She said, "The Lord has touched my husband." I don't believe you ought to live off experience, but if you haven't had some, praise God, get on the altar and either get saved or move on. "Well, I don't like them experience." But if you ever have a good one, you will. Somebody said, "Well, I don't like for them to tell their experience of grace." When I was growing up, if you didn't have an experience of grace, they wouldn't take you into the church. Praise God, I had an experience of grace. And I had such an experience of grace 58 years ago in March. Praise God, I'll tell you, I had an experience of grace. Brother Nichols, 58 years ago in March, I had an experience of grace. And I never have got over it.
Amen.
Oh. But you know, you can be desperate. I'll give you the outline. We need to let somebody else preach. But you know what? You've got to have Bible faith. Desperation is not enough. We need to get desperate this week, but we need to believe God. "Well, I just can't believe God." Stay there long enough, you'll finally believe it. Just stay there. I went to a school meeting one time, and the preacher made fun of people that tried to pray all night. Jesus prayed all night. He said, "Well, you can't pray all night." I wanted to stand up and say, "Hold it! Hold it! Hold it! Hold it! You can pray all night. The reason why I know, I've done it." I went to that first church, and they said, "Nobody's been saved in 2 years. I'm trying to quit." They said, "Nobody's been saved here in 2 years." And old Brother J. E. Glass was a member of that church. Really. You know, a lot of y'all know Brother J. E., I guess. He's about 93 now, I think. Brother J. E. and I got our heads together. He said, "Preacher, I believe we pray, God will send revival." I said, "I do too. I don't know much, but I do know if you pray, God hears prayer." You see, I was just about 20,
too. They taught me over there in that first church I was in that if you pray, things happen. I didn't get much, but I got that. And they taught me, you ought to live separated. You're not going to have any power with God if you're not separated. So we went over there, and we had about 15. About 10 o'clock, one or two left. I think about four or five of us stayed all night. Them roosters began to crow. I said, Brother Elias, did he? Would you like to have some water? He said, I'm not going to drink a drop. He said, God told me not to drink a drop. I'm not going to drink a drop. I'm going to pray all night. We prayed all night. Didn't much happen in that meeting. We just had 13 saved. You know what's happened in our churches? In most cases, we have decided that the devil's got everything. That we can't do anything. He's done a good job. And I know it's more difficult. But I still believe God's in the saving business if we'd pay the price. You can't hardly go anywhere and preach revival anymore because everybody's done convinced before you go there's not going to be no revival. And they're sitting around on pews waiting on Jesus to come. I got to say one more thing and I'm going to. You know, in the 60s, them preachers was building them big churches. You remember them in the 60s? I bet you remember that. They were building them big churches. You remember that? You know what they said? They said, we're going to build them big churches. We borrowed the money. And we're going to let the Antichrist pay them off because Jesus is coming. And they went bankrupt and embarrassed God and the church and everything else. He may not come in my lifetime. He may not come in yours. Do you? Isn't that right, Stephen? I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. He may let ISIS come over here and start taking their heads off. I don't know where it's going, but I know he's coming. And I know that if we need God, if we'll stay with him, when we come to that day, I believe we'll be like the martyrs of old. I believe God will give us grace. Don't question God. You need faith. You need a touch of God. And the woman made a profession. I got a book table. That's in the promise of God. Well, preacher, I can't do. I never have done anything in the ministry that I thought I could do, and God started dealing with me about it. He just kept dealing with me and said, I want you to do this. And I got concerned about people that didn't believe in conviction, didn't believe in you had to come to Jesus and bow to him because he's Lord if you don't get saved. And I got concerned that preachers did not believe in repentance. And I thought, why in the world don't some of these independent Baptists, they are capable men, why don't they put something out? And faith, you've got to place your faith in the Lord. I carried that thing for 5 years. And I was reading Dr. Sipes' little book, and he told how he got filled with the Spirit over at Palom. And he said, you preachers, you've got something God's give you, put it in the book. I said, that's my answer. I went to work on it, and I printed 3,000. I thought, that'll do me 3 or 4 years. My wife had got sick. I couldn't go out. I think that the promise of God, he pulled me in. And I wrote that little book, and the time I got it, it was almost gone. And now we're printing them by the 20,000. We wrote some more, and we got some of Brother Mitchell's. Now, this is the way we do it. Now, I won't take a minute. That'll be all right. I won't take a minute. The book's on this side. Everything on this side don't have no price on it. Churches like this church and other churches and Brother Fraser's in the printing business. Thank God for men that's getting it out. Amen. I put a little basket back there. If you want to give something, you can. But, and that'd be good. We'll just print more with it. I don't take one penny. Never have. I put money in it. And then I've got some books on revival and all that I get, and some Bibles and brother downstairs got a lot more Bibles than I got. But they've got a price on them. But I wish you'd come by the table. And if you need something for a loved one, I bought 2,500 over here of what must I do to be saved? They're going to Indiana. 2,500 of what must I do to be saved? They're putting them out. I got a text from Africa. Said, I just read your book on the grace of God. The Lord's helping. We need to get out His word. Any of you preachers, young preachers, come by the table. I'd like to give you some book. But not just young preachers. Any of you, come by. Will you do that? Pastor, church, I'm glad you let me come. I'm not too sensitive to the Holy Ghost, I don't guess. But when you got up, right before you told me to come, the Holy Spirit of God said, you're going to preach right now. I said, praise God, at my age, I'd like to get it done. Now, I don't know who's preaching next, but I'll try not to go to sleep on you. If I do, throw a phone book at me.